Welcome to the Christ Life. We are glad that you are joining us. We're so excited in all that the Lord is doing, not only in your life, but what God is doing around here. Super excited to have Raven Hallmark, the lovely wife of Reese, with us today, as she is, same as her husband, is a missionary to a university campus, the University of Texas Arlington, as they are bringing the Christ Life to that university. So thanks for joining us today. And just looking forward to what you're going to be sharing with us as we're going through the book of Hebrews, and we've entitled it Undisputed, as the really the focus is all about Jesus. And I want you to think for a minute, as the writer of Hebrews, whoever that might be, he or she, the writer of Hebrews is penning these words. In their heart and mind was a person, maybe a little like you, that was sitting there in a very difficult time of life where they have left the Jewish faith as they were raised and moving into the life of Christ. And while moving into the life of Christ, not only had they left some things behind, but they were really in a place where they were being persecuted, where, you know, maybe they had lost their home, was taken away from them because they were a follower of Jesus, or they lost their job or whatever. So they found themselves discouraged, uncertain whether they wanted to continue to follow and live the life of Jesus. And so the writer of Hebrews is writing about the superiority of Jesus in all these different ways. He's superior than the word of the angels. He's superior than the Torah. He is the priest. He is the sacrifice. He is the better covenant, because ultimately it's all about him. And so here's this person, and they're in this place of struggle. In our culture today, it's kind of disappointing, but what certainly, if you're a sports fan of any kind, you see that sports betting is just infiltrating every area of our life. And what sports betting does, it makes you decide who is better, who's going to come out on top. And the writer of Hebrews wants every person who has left something and exchanged their life for the life of Jesus to understand that ultimately Jesus, he was always on top. But he came to our level to show that from our level, he can go on top again. And he ascended to the right hand of the Father. So we have this great hope, knowing that when we put the thing that is most valuable to us, our life, in his hands, when we take our life and we exchange it for him, then we're going to come out on top. And so the writer of Hebrews has been moving to this place to where the reader is understanding to keep the eyes focused on Jesus, to keep everything moving toward Jesus, because everything else in their life was trying to pull them away, trying to get their attention away from the life that they had moved into. And so when we get to the chapter 10, the latter part of it, there's a bit of a warning that the writer gives to help the reader to understand how important their faith in Jesus Christ is. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to stop in a couple places in here, but in Hebrews 10, starting in verse 32, it says, "But recall the former days when after you were enlightened." So there's a place in life where they've turned towards the Lord, and the veil has been taken off. They view things differently. They've now seen life and what true life truly is. No longer were they just living. Now they were enlightened and they became alive. Said, "You endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore," now here's the crux of what he's saying, "therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance." Now notice, don't throw away your confidence. There's still this need. There's still this thing that lacks is this endurance to take through the challenges and the problems of life, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. Let me stop here just for a moment. Those words, yet a little while. this speaks to a gap of time. It speaks to a season of which you may personally be in, where you're discouraged and you're uncertain. And you're finding that because you've chosen the Christ life, because you've chosen to exchange your old life with the life of Jesus, you find yourself being ostracized at work. You find yourself, when you share the gospel, people push you away. You find yourself being so different than everyone else. And now you're discouraged, wondering if it was worth it. Don't throw away your confidence. You need the endurance, because it's just a little while, just a little while. And the coming one will come and not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And then the writer does this transition about you and I here. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith. Just say those three words with me: who have faith. When you say those words, you even could personalize it. I have faith, because there's the crux of what we're talking about. That's really the pinnacle of what the writer is leading us to in Hebrews, that we have faith and preserve. He says there, but preserve our, I'm going to put that in there, preserve our souls. Here's what we want you to get today. It's a faith thing. It's a faith thing.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about some of the principles and the practices of our faith. And so we see, like, as Rich was saying, like the writer is getting us to this point where we really like have to weigh, like, what is our faith in? And we have to see that our faith's not in a result, but it's in a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's in a relationship with the Lord. And the world's telling us to put our faith into something, like whether it's school, whether it's success, whether it's people, our friendships, like our marriages. But and then like religion is telling us to put our faith in us, that it's in what we do. But true faith is in Jesus. It's in Jesus Christ. And only in that will, like, we, as it says, like, will we persevere? Will we have the endurance that we need? I love this quote by one of my favorite authors, Corrie ten Boom. She says, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't know, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off, but you sit and you trust the engineer, like you stay there. So you don't abandon it, but you stay and you endure, as Rich was saying, like you persevere. And so when we have faith in Jesus, like we trust him, and it's not something like, oh, like everything's going crazy, like I lost my job, I don't have any money, like forget this, I'm going to abandon my faith. But I'm going to, instead you say, no, like I trust the Lord, I'm going to stay here. It's not about this result, but it's about like this beautiful picture of what we're going to talk about in a little bit, about like this intimacy we have with Jesus.
Yeah, you said it really well, that really ultimately Jesus is our prize. Mm-hmm. When we think that our prize is what we get, when we think our prize is some earthly reward, we really miss out on the beauty of this relationship. Mm-hmm. And there are certainly people, and maybe it's been you, where you've gotten the teaching that mm-hmm. that ultimately your faith, it's you know, it's the result. And if you're not healed, if you're not wealthy, if you're not, mm-hmm. you know, healthy, then it's because of you. And so, you know, like you said, we tend to put our faith, religion causes us to put our faith in ourselves. But when you move into this relationship with Jesus, you grow. Now, I know you and Reese are recently married. Mm-hmm. So you're learning each other in this relationship. And certainly it's true with the Lord. We grow in this relationship, but you don't learn your spouse by reading about him in a book.
Yeah.
Right?
So true.
You this relationship, you actually mm-hmm. grow together because you're doing things together. You're talking together. You're speaking the things of your heart. He's speaking the things of his heart. And so there's this listening that is going on. And it's in this where we just grow in the perfect love. And not just in marriage, but with the Lord, we grow in this perfect love of the Lord. What allows us to have faith is that we're able to put this trust in the one who is perfect and powerful. And when we grow in that love, it moves us, it changes us, it transforms us. And what you find is that where you move in this place of going, okay, it's about the relationship. This is really what it's at. I'm not going to worry about the results. It's about knowing him. Then what happens is that there begins to be a joy that fills your heart. Because faith, the principle here is that a joy is found in the journey. It's something that grows inside of you. And I think in a world where all of the writings in novels and all the things that you watch on TV or YouTube or wherever it is, here's a statement that you're going to hear time and time again. I want you just to be happy. Just be happy. The challenge with being happy is that happiness only comes from exterior circumstances. I'm happy when my wife does what I want her to do. So how often do you think I'm happy? Because rarely do all the stars align in our life relationally to where everything becomes happy. And this is a reality for so many people that have put their faith in religion, or they put their faith in their money, and they put their faith in their personal success or whatever it might be, and absent from the relationship with the Lord. You can find happiness in yourself. You can find happiness in your experiences, but it's only when things line up. And the root of happiness comes from the word that we also translate to happen, because happiness only happens when our exterior circumstances line up. And certainly for the people that the writer of Hebrews was writing to, they were looking at their circumstances and going, this isn't good. But when you understand that Jesus Christ is the undisputed King of Kings, he's the one who, it's undisputed, his love was perfectly expressed for you and I at the cross. And I am perfectly loved by him. What happens now is joy fills my heart. Where happiness is exterior, joy is interior. Mm-hmm. And so you can find this joy in the relationship, mm-hmm. where you can find this joy in Christ Jesus as you are discovering along the way. Mm-hmm. You discover things about the love of the Lord during difficult circumstances that you would find in no other circumstance. You wouldn't wish the circumstance on anybody else. You wouldn't want to go through it again yourself. But what you discover is ultimately the joy of the Lord for you as a person. And so you're going, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm about that. And so what you find ultimately is that joy, it grows and it expands as you live out this principle of joy is in the journey. It's not at the end. I don't have to wait till I get there. I get the joy of the Lord as I move along. And let me tell you something. When it comes to principles, if you think about the principle of faith being not about the result, but about the relationship, and you understand the principle that should be in everyone's life, there's joy in the journey. Those principles don't mean much if there's also not a practice associated with. And that's really kind of where we want to go next.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yes. So the first practice is relationship, like relationship with Jesus. Like when we think about our relationships with people, like the people that we like know about them. Like I remember when I first met Reese, my husband, and I knew about him, like things I heard, like he was from San Angelo. He was like moving to San Antonio, just like facts. But then when I really like began to pursue a relationship together, like I really began to know him. And then even now in marriage, like I know his heart, like I know what hurts him. I know what makes him sad. And it's the same with our relationship with Jesus. Like Jesus desires intimate relationship with us. And that's beautiful. Like it's not like, oh, he's this God that's far off that doesn't care about my life. And it's just this set of rules that I have to follow. But there's like a real intimacy and a friendship that comes with following Jesus. And it's just beautiful. And so we can see a beautiful picture of this in Moses, like in the Israelites in the Old Testament. In Exodus, like we see Jesus, like sees the Israelites, they're in this horrible situation. The kingdom of Egypt is ruling over them. They're slaves. They have to do all this work, just like crying constantly out to the Lord, just looking for something more, something better. And then to Jesus, he comes in, he steps in and sees their pain and brings Moses. And Moses is this guy. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, Lord, you have to help me. Like, he's just an ordinary person, but he trusts what the Lord wants to do. He sees it and he begins to like walk on this journey, like in joy, and brings, like the Lord uses him to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. And it's a beautiful story. I highly recommend you guys read Exodus. And he brings his people out of Egypt, and they're through this journey in the wilderness. But the hope is that they're going to come to this promised land, this beautiful place of rest with the Lord and just joy. But like during the wilderness time, they start complaining, but the Lord's feeding them food like every day. So they have everything they ever need. The Lord took care of all of their needs, but they're complaining. They're upset. They start building idols. And the Lord's just like, what's going on? What's happening? But the Lord, like in this story, shows me this verse, like Psalm 103. It says, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. So while the Israelites were complaining and upset, making idols, like forgetting like what the Lord had even done, like bringing them out of Egypt and to this place of just being provided for, forgetting even like the promise that of his faithfulness of where he's taking them, they start complaining. But Moses like is meeting with God. He's spending time with God and he's getting to see like the heart of God. And so Moses is excited and knows about the promised land, but is really just taking this joy in the relationship while the Israelites are seeing the acts of the Lord, seeing like the Lord do these things, but there's no heart behind it. It's just like, oh, I know about God. Yes, he brought us out of Egypt, but that was so long ago is what they're thinking. They're like, but now we're suffering. We're miserable. We don't want this manna that's falling from heaven, like from God, but we don't want it. They're like, I want something new, something different, because they're focused on the result, not the person of Jesus.
Yeah. You know, I love the way you talk about that story, because I think there's a mixture that you find in all relationships mm-hmm. here is that when Moses came out, he did something. He had seen such a power of God mm-hmm. delivering them mm-hmm. from Egypt. And as they're coming out of Egypt and they have the armies of Egypt behind them and they have the sea before them and everyone's coming to him and the complaining started right there. I just love the comment they made. Just, was there not enough graves in Egypt that we've got to die out here? And yet he had along the way recognized in this relationship that God was able to do so much more and that God, and he just said, just stop and watch the hand of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But the Lord came back to Moses and he said, that's what you want. But here's what I want you to do. He was bringing a responsibility into the relationship with Moses. And so he told him, here's what I want you to do. This, I want you to go. And so where there is relationship, there's also responsibility to that relationship. And this is where a lot of people get lost. They get so lost in the do's and don'ts and I got to be this way and I got to be that way that they don't realize that our responsibility in the relationship really has to do with time and attention. Mm-hmm. Spending time with the Lord and giving our attention to the Lord. And actually, as you read through chapter 11, you just find that in each place where they heard the Lord or they did this unto the Lord, it was their time and their attention was focused toward the Lord. And we live in a day where even in our interactions how we interact in church has gone from, gone from 6 or 10 hours a week to now it's just 1 hour a week because, you know, that's what I'm going to give the Lord. The Lord's not really so much interested in how much time that you give him at church. He's interested in your time and attention. He's gone after you and I. And as we come into that relationship, as we remain confident in him, then it's going to cause us to continually come back to him. Where in some ways, it needs to be strategic, where you take some time in the day and you focus your attention towards the Lord. But you don't just leave it there. It's a constant throughout the day where you're thinking about the Lord and you're applying the things that he's talked to you about, because it's as you're taking on his life, then what you're doing is you're saying, okay, that's the way I used to do it. But now, Lord, as you've talked to me about that, now my responsibility is to do it like you've shown me how to do it. And so all of a sudden, now I begin to do things that are different than any other part of the life that I've ever lived. And that's our responsibility part. We listen, we receive it, and then we begin to live it and we begin to recycle it. We begin to pass it on to those that are around us. And here's what you're going to find. And I know that religion focuses on this next part. And I don't want you to get caught up here. But the reality is there is a result to ultimately our responsibility that's born out of relationship. And I want you to think about the result this way, is that if you're ever in a boat, you can turn around and see if the boat's moving. Because if the boat's moving, there's a wake. And just like in your life and our life, there's a result that is from that relationship and the responsibility.
There is, definitely. I love how you said, Rich, like our relationship with Christ, like we keep coming back. And it's this picture of like, as we come back to Christ and as we spend time with him, like our faith is increased. As you said, like we can look and see like, wow, like look where the Lord is taking me. Look where I am now. And so there's this beautiful picture of this like ever growing like relationship with Christ. And like, I love in Hebrews 11, like you see so many people who like were people of God and the Lord just used them. And there was promises, like he made a promise to Abraham, but Abraham never got to see that his descendants were as numerous as the stars. And so there's this constant flow of people who Jesus, like who God used, and the Lord had this promise to them, but they never saw it fulfilled. They had hopes but they had faith in the Lord. They knew who he was and what he was saying. They trusted in him. And so that increased their faith and they continued on this journey of this relationship with him. And so Hebrews 11:39, it says, "And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God had provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect. Apart from us." So we have this beautiful picture of people with their faith. They had saw this promise that God made, but there is something far greater that they gained. Like they gained Christ. And so we, like, as we put our faith in God, like we gain Christ. We gain this beautiful, intimate friendship. Like he's our treasure. He's our greatest reward. Like he's the better thing.
Mm-hmm. And that is in essence the Christ life. Mm-hmm. That's the life that the writer of Hebrews is wanting everyone to really receive, because don't allow your circumstances. And certainly in the Northern Hemisphere, where wealth is just so abundant, I like the scripture that I think it was David that says, "Lord, let me not be so poor that I have to steal to eat, but don't let me be so rich that I forget about you." Mm. There's this dependency upon the relationship. The desire to grow in our life with Christ does happen as we take on his life. And the result is beautiful. Mm. It's not always what you think it's going to be. It isn't necessarily going to result in, you know, a thick pocketbook. It's not going to result. The Lord may be saying, share the life of Christ with your coworkers, and it may result in a lost job. But don't let that get you down, because what the Lord has for you, the reward that he has himself, is far greater. And so we're believing that you are moving into this life of faith that is not about results, but about a relationship. And that is what we consider the Christ life.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.